Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see all of you. I want to welcome those that are online with us in the Dayton area and around the world that are joining us today. I want to welcome our Springboro campus, Northmont campus, Beaver Creek campus, Classics that's joining us, and all of you that are right here in Centerville. Great to have you here today. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest, we have connected with you in all of our campuses from our campus pastors and our hosts. I want to welcome you myself. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and I've got some visitors with me today. My in-laws are here, and so they're right up in the front row, and you've heard me tell many stories about them, so you're going to want to meet them sometime after the service here today. They're the best part of our family, so it's great to have you here. We are in a series called Unwinding Anxiety, and we're talking about anxiety. We're talking through ways in which we can learn from Scripture about how we can unwind anxiety, because I think a lot of us are dealing with anxiety. According to the statistics, that would be about half of us that are dealing with anxiety right now, or you have been or will be in your life. You probably know somebody who's struggling at some level with anxiety or worry, and so we're diving into God's Word, and we're trying to figure out how we can unwind this thing called anxiety in our life. You'd be interested to know, as we start off today, that you are always moving toward the most dominant thoughts that you have in your life. You are always moving towards the most dominant thoughts that you have. In other words, you're moving emotionally towards the most dominant things that you're thinking about, even right now. You may be thinking about the week ahead of you. You may be thinking about the week behind you. I don't know what it is for you, but here's what's true of all of us, that you and I are always moving toward the most dominant thought that you have right now. What that means is that if you have good thoughts right now, that you are moving towards that which is encouraging in your life. On the flip side, if you are, you know, have bad thoughts in your life, if you're dealing with all kinds of things today in your life, here's what I know about you. You are moving towards discouragement or worry or anxiety in your life. And what we're going to see today is it's really important to deal with our thoughts, that part of unwinding anxiety in our life is dealing with our thoughts, figuring out how we can deal with our thoughts, because we are all moving towards the most dominant thoughts that we have in our life at this moment. We've said that anxiety can be defined this way, that it's an overwhelming fear or an overwhelming worry from misplaced attention. If you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this, and this is the definition that we've been using. Misplaced, meaning that you're worried about things that you really can't do anything about. You're worried about things that may not have happened yet, or things that have happened that you can't do anything about. Let me say it a different way. Another way to say anxiety or define anxiety would be this way, that anxiety is often runaway fears, where your mind has a thought, and all of a sudden that thought leads to a second thought and a third thought, and pretty soon your mind is running, and you have all kinds of thoughts that don't even logically make sense. For example, I was thinking this week, I've got this thing in my finger, and it's like this little knob, and it's too, you know, it's too small for you to zoom in on a little bit, but there's this thing on my finger, and it's causing my nail to have a little ridge in it, and as I've been thinking about it this week, I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe I've got a blood disorder. And if I've got a blood disorder, then that means that my DNA is not very good, which means my four sons are in trouble, because then they might have a blood disorder, which means that if they get married, then they're going to have problems with their spouse. And so if they have problems with their spouse, they may have kids that have bad blood, and that bad blood may cause them not to get jobs or get into a college, which means they're definitely going to jail. And if they go to jail, my heart is going to hurt, which means I might have heart problems too. And we kind of laugh, but isn't that how it goes, right? Our minds just run away with these crazy things that happen in our life. And so anxiety can be runaway fears. And how do we handle it? How do we unwind this? Does the Bible have anything to say at all about anxiety? If you've been with us, you know that it does. And today, we're going to be in the New Testament again as we look at a prolific author based on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You know him as the Apostle Paul. He talks to us about anxiety, and the truth of the matter is, he probably was dealing with it. And as he was dealing with it and overcoming it and unwinding it in his life, he gives us some instruction, some words in the New Testament that I know you've heard before, and we're going to look at them again in a very different context today. I've been promising you some resources, and in fact, we have those resources ready to go for you. And so, if you're struggling or you know somebody that's struggling, would you text the word anxiety to 97,000? You can take out your smart devices right now and just text the word anxiety to 97,000, and we're going to send you a link immediately right now if you take it out. And in that link, there are all kinds of resources. We have workshops that you can attend. We have counseling centers that we recommend. We have books that you could read. We have websites that you may want to peruse as you're thinking through your own worry and anxiety. And one I want to highlight today is the fact that 2 weeks from today, jot it down, if you text anxiety, you'll get this, but 2 weeks from today, December the 5th, at 3 p.m. at the Centerville campus, we're going to have a workshop called Stayed Upon the Lord, Healing from Anxiety and Depression, from our own Ryan Casto, counselor, and he's going to walk us through ways in which you and I can find healing from anxiety and depression in our life. So mark that down, 2 weeks from today, 3 o'clock, on the Centerville campus for an hour and a half as Ryan will help us and lead us. Again, there's all kinds of resources here, so just text the word anxiety and it'll help you. We've been talking about how we unwind anxiety, and this is what we said. We said that one of the ways that we unwind anxiety is that you fight anxiety with God's truth. The way you fight anxious thoughts is you take anxious thoughts that come into your life and you go, you know what, that is not truth, and so I want to make sure that I get myself in front of truth, and you look into God's word and you find promises, you find the power of God mentioned all through the Bible. We gave you resources for that. That's still on our app and website if you want to look for those. And we said that you need to fight anxious thoughts with God's truth. Last week, we said this, that if we're going to unwind anxiety, it's going to take you prioritizing Jesus. Jesus has to be at the center of your life, not the fringe of your life. Not you shouldn't say, well, I think I know about Jesus. I may have a relationship with him. We're talking about prioritizing Jesus as a center place of your life. And when you prioritize Jesus, that is a place in which you can unwind anxiety in your life. And so we talked all about that. If you missed that, you can follow along on the web or on the app as well. Take your Bibles with me if you have a Bible with you or a device. Why don't you power them up to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians is a small letter in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read the first, not the first, but rather 4 through 9 verses there. Verses, as I mentioned, that you already know. Philippians chapter 4. These are some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, and Paul tells us here and gives us some instruction about how we can deal with anxiety. Here's what I want you to do today, because I want you to do something at the end of this. I would like you, if you wouldn't mind, online, you can even do this if you want, any one of our campuses, would you mind standing today as I read God's word in honor of God's word? But not only that, afterwards, I want to ask you to do something. So would you just stand as we read this together? Your Bibles are open, your devices, if you can't stand, that's okay. Just stay seated, let me read it for you. Philippians chapter 4, drop down to verse 4. Let me read it for you, okay? Here's what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Here it is. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about such things. And then Paul gets real personal. He says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Great, great words for us as we dive in today. Here's what I want you to do in all of our campuses. If you just turn to the person around you, we don't get the opportunity to shake hands and do the greeting that we've normally been doing. But why don't you just turn to the people around you, just say, peace be with you. Just peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. May the God of peace be with you. If you're online, you can just type it right there. Peace be with you, and then you're welcome to take a seat. Church, peace be with you. Today I want to talk about the peace of God. And I want to talk about prayer. You probably heard sermons on prayer before, but hopefully today, as we think about prayer and we think of the depth in which this conversation that Paul is talking to us about, that maybe it'll shake your minds a little bit, and it'll shift you in a way that perhaps you haven't thought before about prayer, because all of the instructions that Paul gives us here is about prayer related to anxiety and related to the peace of God. That's what we're after today, the peace of God, because that's really what he's talking about here. Again, you are always moving toward the most dominant thoughts that you have in your life. Been doing some research, because when we think about our minds and we think about our thoughts and we think about all of that, there's so much that we can learn here, which is just absolutely amazing, because Paul says somewhere else in Romans chapter 12, which I'll show you in just a little bit, he talks about our minds. Our minds are incredible. Our minds are an amazing complex organ. It's an amazing complex organ. And there's so much that we could talk about in the mind here, and I'm certainly not a doctor, and I'm not a neurologist, but I've been doing some research, and I want to show you a couple of books today, or reference a couple of books today, because they might be worth you buying or worth you getting, because it'll help you with regard to understanding what prayer can do in terms of bringing the peace of God so that peace might be with you. The brain, this huge, this amazing organ that God gives us, there are two things that I want to draw our attention to today about the brain or the organ of our mind. The first is that inside of our brain, there's this thing called the amygdala. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. The amygdala is a small little piece of your brain, about the size of an almond at the end of it, and the amygdala does some amazing things for us. The amygdala helps us to understand whether we should fight or whether we should run, flight. So the amygdala is a response mechanism that God has given to us, and so it happens in a split second. You're faced with something, and in a split second, your amygdala will inject adrenaline in your body, and you will either fight or you will run, flight. This is a God-given thing that he's given to us. And the truth of the matter is, you probably don't even recognize it, but it happens all the time. Let me give you two stories of how it happened to me. One that just recently happened, and then what happened a couple of years ago. I was just recently picking up my wife from the airport. She was coming back from Florida. She was babysitting our grandson, who's in Florida now. Many of you have heard that. And so I went to the airport to pick her up. As I was driving to the airport to pick her up, there was this guy that was in a truck, big truck. And I didn't know what was going on. I must have done something. I don't know what I did, but I must have done something that made him mad. And he was got this huge truck, and he's right next to me. And he was, coming right next to me. And I looked over, and he looked at me, and we caught eyes. Have you ever done that when you catch eyes with somebody, and it's not good, right? So I caught eyes with him, and he looks at me, and he points like this at me. And I'm going, you talking to me, you know? So I slowed down, and he slowed down. So I sped up. And he sped up. I thought, oh, man, he's really after me. And then he took his big truck, and he did like this and kind of came into my lane and tried to push me literally off the road. Now, what you probably don't know is that here at Fairhaven, we have security. Aren't you glad we have security? We have police officers and military officers that take care of us every single week to make sure that all of us are cared for, our kids are cared for. Ladies, we want to care for you to make sure that you're safe, and we have them. And so what we've done in our security system here is that we've made these badges so that the Centerville police or any local police know that if they were have to come to one of our buildings, our security would pull this out, because this is the badge that would show them that we're the good guys, not the bad guys. Pretty good so far, right? I happen to have one of these, and it just so happened it was sitting in my coffee cup. Now, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? I don't know why it was in my coffee cups, because usually this is my office, and it's sitting in my coffee cup, and this guy is trying to get me off the road, and I thought, my amygdala kicked in. My adrenaline was there, and I didn't know where to go, so I picked this up, and I flashed him with this badge. You should have seen, man. He backed way off, and, slowed down to about 30 miles an hour, and it was unbelievable. And so I was kind of embarrassed that this happened to me, and so I the next week I was here at the church, and I asked one of the security, I said, is that legal? And he goes, no, no, but it works. I'm selling this for $2,000 today to anybody that wants to buy it. It's unbelievable. This thing works right here. Yeah, that's embarrassing. It's unbelievable. Amygdala kicked in and my adrenaline was there. A couple of years ago, I was in Africa and we were working there. My son actually was with me and we were there at Bungalow Hospital. Many of you have heard of Bungalow Hospital. We're very involved there. We have lots of doctors that go there and teach medicine at this hospital. Well, I went there because I wanted to be there and support them, and we had raised money for them. So I was there and we had an afternoon off. So my son and I decided we're going to go down to this big river that was down there because everybody likes the river in Africa. So we went down there. We were talking to these African guys, and all of a sudden, I saw it in their eyes. Like, all of a sudden, their eyes got really big, and they took off. And I thought, man, what do they know that I don't know? Because I'm standing there like this, you know, looking around, and the amygdala, you know, kicked in for them, the adrenaline, and they took off. Come to find out, the reason why they ran is because in that part of Africa, there's a snake called the black mamba. Anybody ever hear that before? And the black mamba was actually crawling over my shoes, and I didn't even realize it. Here's a picture of it. This is actually a true story, a picture of it. They killed it afterwards. It's not a very ominous snake, but it's the ninth most deadliest poisonous snake on the planet, and it crawled over my feet. And so these guys were running away, and I didn't even know what it was. And you're probably wondering, why is it called the black mamba? Well, it's green, but its mouth is completely black, and when it opens up, it's ominous. It's unbelievable. And I'm telling you, the adrenaline kicked in for those guys, and my adrenaline kicked in late. And it was like, you know, when adrenaline kicks in, it wears you out. It wears you out. See, our minds are absolutely amazing. Here's the reason why I tell you this, because when you and I live out our lives, and we're talking about unwinding anxiety, you see, in our lives, many of us have had hurt, we have fear, we have trauma, some of us have experienced abuse, misunderstanding. And would you know that there are people, and there are places, and there are events, and there's news that comes on that triggers the amygdala in our life? And all of a sudden, it triggers in us, and we have this sense in which we're fighting or we're going to flight or run, and yet the adrenaline that's there causes us to worry and be filled with anxiety. God gives us, fortunately, another little organ in our body, which is amazing, not just the amygdala, because the amygdala is not objective. I mean, it can trigger at any time, but God also gave us in our minds the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex is the impulse control, meaning that when your amygdala kicks in, there's also the prefrontal cortex, which controls that impulse. For example, like at night, you can be laying in bed, and you hear a noise, and your amygdala is like, watch out, somebody's here, we're going to do something about this. Or your prefrontal cortex will say, oh, wait, I think that was just a dog. So there's the rational side to your mind. So we go through all these things in our minds. It's absolutely amazing. The amygdala is the panic button, and the prefrontal cortex is the logic button. And God created this in us. It's absolutely amazing. So when Paul tells us that prayer ought to be part of our lives, especially when we're experiencing anxiety and worry, I did some research, and it's amazing how our minds can literally be changed based on prayer and the peace of God. Literally, our brains are reprogrammed. The amygdala can be reprogrammed, and I'll tell you about some of that research in a little bit. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4, because I want to change the dominant thoughts, because if you and I are always moving toward the most dominant thoughts, let's make sure today that we understand the proper dominant thoughts in order that we could understand what prayer is and how we can experience the peace of God. Let's take a look. Here it is, Philippians chapter 4. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. If you like to write in your Bibles, the word reasonableness there is gentleness. Let your gentleness be known to everybody. Paul is not saying in some weird spiritual statement like, you know what, you should just be grateful to God no matter what your circumstances are. You just need to be grateful to God. That's not what Paul is saying. Here's what Paul is saying, which I think is better. Paul is saying this. Here's a dominant thought, that God is right here. And you know, when you get that dominant thought in your mind, can you already feel the gentleness settling in? When you know that God is right here, He's right with you. Rejoice in the fact that God is right here. Can you feel it? Can you feel the adrenaline just kind of, it works its way out. We begin to unwind anxiety because God is right here. And He promises that. Paul is sitting in prison. Now, it may have been a prison or it may have been house arrest. Most scholars think it was house arrest, but really doesn't matter. I mean, he was fighting for his life. He didn't think that this was going to go further than this, and he wrote this letter to the Philippian church because he was dealing with anxiety, and he was probably overcoming it, and he wanted us to overcome it some thousands of years later, and he starts off by saying, God is right here. Let that gentleness sink in. And in fact, let everybody around you experience it because that's what happens. In your worry and in your anxiety, when you understand that God is right here, look at verse 6. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Two things that I want to mention about that. Number one is, do you see any room in there for anything else but anything? I mean, like just like it's completely conclusive, right? Do not be anxious about anything. Like there's nothing that's worth being anxious about. Like there's nothing that it works in its a category that fits in here. Do not be anxious about anything. Here's the second thing I want you to notice, that there's a comma after that. There's not an exclamation point, because if there was an exclamation point, it would be very easy for us to push back and say, Paul, that's not really helpful. I mean, if you're dealing with anxiety and somebody says, well, don't be anxious, that doesn't help. Or if you're dealing with worry in your life and for somebody to say, you know what, you should count your blessings. I mean, you have so many of them. It's not really helpful. But that's not what Paul is saying. Look, he says, do not be anxious about anything, comma, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Here's the second dominant thought that I hope you'll grab today, and that's this, that He, that's God, is the only one who can do something about everything. He's the only one. So if we're going to be unwinding anxiety, Paul is saying here, we got to get to prayer, but before we get to prayer, we need to understand that God is right here. Let that sink in. And you need to know that He's the only one that can do something about everything. He's the only one. He cares about every aspect of our life. He is not asleep at the wheel. You've heard me quote Psalm 121, my favorite psalm in the world. It says there that God is not slumber. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't fall asleep at the wheel. Your situation and your circumstances isn't because God looked the other way and all of a sudden, oops, He's right here. And He's the only one that can do something about everything. That leads us further into prayer. That can be a dominant thought for us. Let's read on. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What's the difference between the two? Why does Paul say prayer and supplication? Because if you look at the original language, Paul says this, you need to tell God some things and you need to ask God some things. Prayer is telling God things and supplication is asking God things. So in prayer, we need to tell God we're anxious, we're struggling with this, our amygdala's kicked in, and God wants to use the prefrontal cortex and calm us down, because that's what God does. He works in our physical bodies, right? He created us perfectly in His image. And so He says here, He says, tell God some things and ask God some things with thanksgiving. You don't have to be thankful for your circumstances, but you have to be thankful for the fact that God is here and He's the only one that can do something about everything. So prayer and supplication, telling and asking. I love the writer of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says that we should approach the throne of God boldly. When's the last time you prayed a bold prayer? Maybe today. James, in James chapter 4, says you don't have because, help me out here, church, you didn't ask. So Paul right here says if you're going to unwind anxiety, you've got to tell God and you've got to ask God. Because I think this is what he's wanting us to understand in terms of the dominant thought in our life. He's wanting us to understand that if something is on your mind, it's already on the heart of God. If something is on your mind, it's already on the heart of God. God knows the anxiety that we feel and the worry that we experience in our life. Again, we're not talking about clinical anxiety because that's something completely different and that needs something completely different, although I think this is still relevant for that, and that's why we gave you those resources, because that may be something that you're dealing with. But for those of us that deal with worry and anxiety on a regular basis, we need to understand that if something's on your mind, it's already on the heart of God. And Paul is leading us to prayer. He's talking about how prayer is so important. In fact, this is the fourth dominant thought that we need to have. Don't undervalue or underestimate the power of prayer. If I were to ask you a question today, how many of you think you need to pray more? I think every hand would go up. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not here today to bring guilt about your prayer life. What I'm here to tell you is that Paul understood that if we're going to unwind anxiety, prayer has got to be part of the solution for us, because prayer brings the peace of God. And the peace of God is the answer. That's what Paul is saying. What is really interesting, if you do the research, and I've done the research, is that there's physicians like Dr. Caroline Leaf who wrote this book, and I put this here because you should probably order this book. Here's what Dr. Caroline Leaf has said as she's done neurological study. Pretty fascinating. She says that if you, for 12 minutes over 8 weeks, if you pray for 12 minutes over 8 weeks, there literally can be a change on a brain scan. In other words, prayer is so powerful in our life that when we approach God, as we tell him and ask him things, because he's present and he's the only one that can do something about everything, and if it's on your mind, it's already on his heart, that if we go to him in prayer, it literally changes our brains. It literally changes the organ of our brains. It's incredible to think. And so here's what I want you to do. I want to challenge you, if you're dealing with anxiety right now, I want to challenge you to pray for 12 minutes for the next 8 weeks. Set your alarm if you have to. Set it on your watch or your phone. For 12 minutes, just sit there and pray and just tell God all the things that you're struggling with and ask him to bring healing and grace and all the things that you need in your life. Just tell him and ask him for 12 minutes over 8 weeks. Jot this down. That's January 16, starting today. January 16 for 8 weeks. And you know what the research tells us? That it changes you from the inside out. And we've always known that, haven't we? Isn't that what transformation is? God changes us from the inside out. Literally changes your brain. A doctor who was working at the Thomas Jefferson Hospital, his name is Dr. Andrew Newberg, who's not a believer as far as I can tell, he has been studying the effect of prayer for over 20 years. And he says that when a person prays regularly, it changes the formation of their brain. That's amazing. But hasn't the Bible been saying that all along? I mean, Paul, I told you before, Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Remember that? In other words, Paul is saying that don't be squeezed into the shape of the present age. Don't be squeezed into that. And then he goes on to say, but be transformed by the renewing of your, help me out here, church, by the renewing of your mind. So this is what he says. He says, don't be squeezed in, but allow your mind to be reprogrammed. That's amazing to me, that our minds can be reprogrammed because of our connection with God through prayer, which brings the peace of God. You know what's interesting? That when you read on here in verse 7, here's what it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In other words, the peace that you have from God is super confusing, but it works. It's super confusing, like we don't understand it, but it works. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Last dominant thought, as we're talking about prayer here, and that's this: trust the power and promises of God. In other words, the opposite of anxiety is trust. Or the opposite of not trusting is anxiety. See, God wants us to trust him. And when we don't trust him, you know what happens? Anxiety, worry. I mean, trust is the opposite of anxiety. And so it's no wonder that Paul tells us that God is near, he's the only one that can do anything about everything, And if it's on your mind, it's already on his heart. And so let's not forget the power of prayer, and let's make sure that we trust God in the process. And here's what happens. Watch this. And the peace of God will be yours. Wow. Let that sink in for a minute. The peace of God. I don't know about you, but I want that. Anybody else? I want that. I want the peace of God. And then Paul goes on in verses 8 and 9. I read them for you. He says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything that's excellent, if there's anything that's worthy of praise, think about such things. Paul does an amazing thing. He tells us that our prayer life needs to include a couple things. And so this is what he says. So you need to think it. You need to pray it. You need to confess it until you trust it. If you miss everything else today, don't miss this. This is what Paul is saying, that if you're going to unwind anxiety in your life, you got to think it. You got to think that God is near and that he cares and he's, you know, available and it's already on his heart. Then you got to pray it, because we need to pray. Then we need to confess it, meaning we need to make sure we live it out in our lives until you trust it. Come on, church, you got to think it, you got to pray it, you got to confess it until you trust it. You got to think it, you got to pray it, you got to confess it until you trust it. Say it with me here. You got to think it, then you got to pray it, confess it until you trust it. If you get this, you've gotten Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And the peace of God will be with you. You know what you ought to do? You ought to take a bowl or a box or a basket in your house. And what you could do if you want to live out this message is you could simply write on a sheet of paper, when you have a worry in your life, write it out and stick it in that little basket. And that's going to be your God basket. That's going to be your God bowl, your God box, whatever you want to call it. And you just write it down and you put it in there. And then when you worry, here's what you do. You pull it right out of that little basket and you hold on to it and say, nope, I need to think it. I need to pray it. I need to confess it until I trust it. And you hold on to that until you're ready to trust it, and then you put it back in that little basket. Try that with your kids, parents. Try that with your spouse. Try that with your single friends. Put something together that you can say, as I worry, I'm going to write it down, I'm going to put it in that little thing, because we're going to think it and pray it and confess it until we trust it, and the peace of God will be with you. You see, church, you are always moving toward the most dominant thought that you have in your life. So what I want to do with you is just give you the opportunity to take a few minutes. And let's prime the pump. Let's pray. Would you do that? Just connect with God. Maybe it's something you need to tell him today. Maybe there's something you need to ask him today. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to make the commitment to 12 minutes for 8 weeks. Because I want to be changed. I want the worries of my life to be reprogrammed. Would you just bow with me for a second and just connect quietly with God and just talk to him? Father, we come to you today and we ask that you'd hear the things that we're telling you. We're coming and we're asking that you do things that are even super confusing, but they work, because you bring us peace. Lord, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you're the only one that can do something about everything in my life. Thank you, Lord, that when it's on my heart, it's already, on my mind, it's already on your heart. Thank you, Father, that you care that much about the details of my life, of our life. Lord, help us never to forget the power of prayer and to trust you. Lord, I pray right now that as we have connected with you and as we continue to do so over these next 8 weeks, for those that take this challenge, Father, I pray that you would change us. You would change our brains, that we would unwind anxiety. Thank you that you care that much about us. You created us so perfectly to be connected with you, and when we are, it changes us in every way, shape, and form. May the peace of God be with us today. May the peace of God reign in our hearts. May we celebrate the peace of God in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.